Depend on us for local news. Now, Mike Thomas, Heather Roberts, and Frank Bonacquisti.
The Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems is asking the legislature to address healthcare staffing and revenue shortfalls. CEO Becky Hultberg says 64% of Oregon hospitals are operating in the red.
They have to make enough money to cover their expenses, which include labor, supplies, and equipment. And they have to have enough left to save and reinvest so that they can replace capital or add needed services in their community. Post-pandemic, this basic math equation just isn't working.
The association has proposed a package of bills that Hultberg says would increase staffing by improving training opportunities and exempt some expenses from state cost growth targets. She also hopes lawmakers will address the shortage of secondary facilities, which keeps some patients in the hospital after they're ready for discharge.
Crook County's Pioneer High School opened in its new building last month, but the district finally held an official ribbon cutting yesterday.
Six classrooms. It has a conference room, a counseling space. It actually has a courtyard, so there's some picnic tables out there.
Superintendent Dr. Sarah Johnson tells me it's a big improvement over what Pioneer had before. The alternative high school moved four times between 2005 and 22, always sharing space with an elementary school. While some students enroll at Pioneer because they want smaller class sizes, she says others need the sense of permanence this new facility provides.
Kids who have experienced some kind of interruption or difficulty, they just weren't thriving in the regular setting.
The district bought the property next door to Crook County High just before the pandemic. Johnson says federal pandemic relief funds made the $4 million project feasible sooner than expected.
It was a modular building, but the quality of the modular units is just very impressive.
The 9,500 square foot facility also has a kitchen, CTE shop space, and a testing center.
A popular Forest Service road west of Bend will be accessible to the public again soon, 2 years after a local landowner installed three gates. Central Oregon Daily's Carly Olson explains.
When the Verheiden family closed the popular hiking and biking route that ran through their private property, it sparked backlash, but now a new way forward.
We received $700,000 through the 2023 omnibus spending bill that will help with this reroute.
This reroute around the Verheiden's private property connects the Forest Road with the end of Sizemore Road.
It's basically just the most direct pathway that we could find.
Deschutes County Commissioner Phil Chang sought federal funding for the project after it appeared there would be no other stepping stone.
I carried a request to our two senators, Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden, and the senators were very attentive in helping to make that happen.
The Verheiden family sent a statement to Central Oregon Daily News on Tuesday saying they have endured vandalism and even physical assault as a result of the public backlash. They say they've spent $500,000 already on maintaining their section of the road and have offered alternatives, saying the ongoing and misdirected public outcry suggests that the Bend community would like to see the road reopened. Despite public comments suggesting the contrary, the Verheiden family would as well, so long as the county or Forest Service commit to paving and maintaining it. It's an offer they say has been turned down.
We really just were never able to find common interests and find common ground in terms of what road maintenance would look like and what each party's authorities were. And so we didn't get very far in the negotiations.
Yeah, no one has ever made such an offer to me at the county. And I would have been very interested in discussing that if such an offer had been made.
It's now up to the Forest Service to allocate resources and make progress on the new plan. Carly Olson, Central Oregon Daily News.
The Oregon legislature is considering a bill to create a state data broker registry. Those are businesses that collect information about you. Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum says data brokers would have to register and the business's contact information would be posted online.
Consumers will be able to use the registry to contact data brokers directly and ask about what information the data broker has on them or request that the data broker no longer sell their personal information.
California and Massachusetts were the first states with a similar requirement, and over 500 data brokers have registered. Oregon is high on the list of states focused on sustainable building practices, according to a new report released this week. Eric Tegetthoff has more.
The state comes in at number 10 in U.S. Green Building Council's ranking based on the construction of LEED-certified buildings, a widely used system that rates environmentally friendly practices. In 2022, Oregon added more than 6 million square feet of LEED-certified space. The Pacific Regional Director for the U.S. Green Building Council, Stephanie Gabriel, says the next step for the state is to expand this type of construction outside of major cities.
Bringing green building to more rural environments or small towns outside of Portland metro area and Salem, the larger cities of Oregon. So really making sure that we're addressing green building throughout the state.
Gabriel says the Inflation Reduction Act signed by President Biden last year will bring federal funding to states with green building initiatives, which could increase the pace toward more sustainable construction.
Cook County Search and Rescue has had a very busy month, responding to drivers stranded in rural areas with poor cell phone service. The latest incident was Tuesday when a motorist texted 911 from the area of Big Summit Prairie. Using GPS data, a SAR team determined a possible location and traveled into the Ochocos on snowmobiles and a tracked side-by-side. They found a Redmond man in his car, unhurt, but stuck in heavy snow, and they gave him a ride back to Prineville.
People trying to get healthy in the new year are a popular target for scammers. Rebecca Barr with the Better Business Bureau told KBND News, advising listeners to be cautious of weight loss products promising miracle results in online ads and on TV.
They all showcase amazing before and after pictures, and they have glowing five-star reviews. But the sad truth is the ads are misleading, and the products are not going to melt away that fat or give you that six-pack. And in fact, the FDA has come out and said that many contain ingredients that can be damaging to your health.
She says the Better Business Bureau also gets a lot of complaints about food delivery services. Some companies change prices without notice, and canceling the subscription can be difficult. Barr suggests doing your homework and read the fine print before signing up for any ongoing service.
Ben Parks and Rec is looking for public input on design concepts to improve access at three riverfront parks, McKay, Miller's Landing, and Columbia Park. The district launched an online survey yesterday, available through February 8th. There will also be a series of in-person events beginning February 1st. Timing and funding for the projects are not yet secured, and the district admits it could be years before work begins. We've got more details at our website.
The Bureau of Land Management will host a meeting in Bend next month as part of ongoing efforts to update its 2012 Western Solar Plan. BLM's existing plan includes six southwestern states, and the agency is looking for input on a proposal to expand solar planning to Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Washington, and Wyoming. The Bend meeting is February 2nd at the Doubletree Hotel on Northwest Franklin. It's one of a series of meetings held across the West and in Washington, D.C.